Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. The Big 12 is on the cusp of death because the SEC just means more. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the creator of the denomination division within the new Big 12. And with me, as always, is AJ. The NHL draft is my draft, Marchese.
Look, I mean, I gotta care when we got Michigan Wolverines going top two, back-to-back. The Ducks are making the third pick. Could it be another Wolverine? I don't know. Wait, no, they take 25 minutes to make their pick. So we won't know. I'll interrupt the middle of the show to update how many Wolverines we got top 10, Rob.
People are asking, is Michigan a hockey school?
It's a basketball school and then a hockey school. And then I think we're good at wrestling now. It's a wrestling school. And then women's soccer. a lot of things before football.
Today we're continuing our 2022 NFL Draft Summer Scouting Series with the Pac-12. Hashtag After Dark. Let's hit it.
Going out to Vegas. Gonna set my draft. On fire.
Seven
rounds in heaven with my lady, driving out to Vegas, baby, looking for a Stingley or Thibodeau. Who's gonna bat it on draft day? Who's gonna wager future picks away? Who's gonna reach for a blue blood lineman? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
That's right, people. The NHL draft is underway, and the best place to get live, audio-only sports talk on a platform breaking down every pick is Spotify Green Room. Ain't that right, AJ? While we do this podcast, you're also going to be live on Spotify Green Room.
Yeah, I'll just be muting myself on this podcast and breaking down all the picks. Are we going to get the Hughes brothers in New Jersey? Find out in, I don't know, 30 seconds whenever they're done announcing this pick with 35 people on stage.
And if you're thinking you want to hear this from AJ, guess what? Spotify Green Room is free to download and to use. You can talk to AJ, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties like the NHL Draft Watch Party AJ is hosting, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news like every single NHL draft pick. Share your own experiences on the app. Like, are you upset only Michigan players are being drafted? Are you sad your hockey school's not in the Big Ten? That's where you talk about it. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app, free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group. Follow AJ to be notified when AJ's room goes live after each pick. It's not just one Spotify Green Room. It ends after each pick and then starts again with the next pick. So AJ will be going live and other people too if you download Spotify Green Room. Come with your spiciest takes. We get spicy takes.
We did it, Rob. We got Luke and Jack together in New Jersey.
The Sunshine State.
Beautiful. Okay, hey. Has Ohio State ever had a recruit get picked top five in any sport? I don't think so. Go Blue, baby. It's not even there yet.
WWE draft. We're a wrestling school.
You are.
Okay, spicy takes. I got lots. I don't like any of these quarterbacks. What do you think? It's the Pac-12. We're a little more easy breezy on the West Coast. We should pretend like we're from whatever conferences we're talking about, shouldn't we?
Absolutely. To me, the Pac-12, and I'm a hardcore Pac-12 fan from Corvallis, of course. And to me, the Pac-12 is the cradle of quarterbacks, and all of these QBs are first round picks.
Okay, so let's start with Caden Slovis.
Yeah, is he your top rated guy?
Yes, he's my top rated guy.
Me too.
He's been talked about as a potential first round pick after his kind of out of nowhere freshman season. Yeah. Did you know Kurt Warner was his high school coach? What? That's gonna be a fun buzz line for years to come. But okay, so he's since after his freshman year, incredible freshman year, didn't play nearly as well as a sophomore. Obviously, there was the shoulder injury that kind of hindered him throughout the year. He said he kind of mentioned losing a bit of confidence too. My take is right now, based on his sophomore tape, he's nowhere near a first round quarterback.
No, I agreed. I got like a fourth, fifth round grade on him right now.
So I'm even lower on him than you. I think he's a late day three guy, kind of at best right now. But the thing is, you go back to that freshman tape, and the freshman tape's better than the sophomore tape. So it's hard to like have a firm take on him right now, because if he wasn't healthy last year and that shoulder both mentally and physically impacted his game, like we need to see him this year in a non-COVID season, especially. I thought it was especially hard to kind of even get your hands on 2020 tape for some of these guys.
Because the Pac-12 season
was so abbreviated, like rarely anyone played more than like four games.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I think this is the hardest conference, at least Power 5-wise, maybe in the whole country, to get a good gauge on for these prospects, because they none of these schools played more than four games, really.
Yeah, like I found the AAC better than this, most of the G5 schools in general. But yeah, so with Slovis, it's like it's hard to have a firm take on him because of what he went through last season. But just breaking down what I saw was, I don't know, I just didn't think there was a ton of arm strength there. I thought his mechanics were pretty inconsistent. And he forces a lot of balls into traffic. And now USC had a ton of playmakers in his 2 years there, so sometimes it bails him out, but I don't know. I just think he has a long way to go, and especially coming to that air raid, when like there's a lot of kind of layup throws for him, short rhythm throws. There are times you see like a couple deep shots mixed in, and he can flash some impressive deep ball placement. But I found that there was more of that on the freshman tape than the sophomore tape. I felt like his touch kind of diminished as a sophomore.
I think the mental aspects of his game are the real hindrance right now. You see some big time head scratching INTs, and again, it might be attributed to the shoulder injury with both, you know, mental and physically. But to me, like it just feels like a lot of times he knows where he's going to throw the ball before the snap, and he just does it. And I don't even mean to he's Drake London, he's going to throw Drake. I mean, like sometimes it's to the exact spot, and there's just a defender standing there. And it's a terrible interception. And, like, it's almost like if he doesn't make up his mind pre-snap where he's throwing the ball, he looks to scramble first. And he's good at creating off the scramble. He moves really well. He remains a passer. But I think he's really far behind. Like, he's not even close to a first-round pick mentally as a quarterback. I think I'm a bit higher on the arm. I think the arm is good. It's not elite in any capacity at all. It's fine. He's a good athlete. I think I like the mechanics a little more than you do. I think they're pretty okay. But yeah, it's just the decision making and the processing speed are just super lacking. And he's a good college quarterback, obviously, but I don't see how people are getting excited as a first round potential quarterback.
Especially in the context of the show as we go through each conference, I think already having seen Carson Strong and Malik Willis.
Yeah, they're way better than him.
Like, Malik Willis is physically a freak of nature, and Carson Strong is a much better processor and accurate quarterback. And, like, they're both better for different reasons, and it's pretty clear in you – I don't know, I just – came away pretty disappointed in Slovis's tape. Who would be your second quarterback in this group?
I went with Jaden Daniels from Arizona State. I have like a late seven on him. Really good athlete, obviously. He's got some sporadic accuracy. He's got some issues feeling pressure. But the arm is loose. I think it's good enough. I think he's got some nice touch throws.
I think his best kind of obviously he's a very good mover, but yeah, his arm talent is pretty obvious.
Yeah, no, like for strength sure. Wise. Like, I don't think it's this year, but he's a guy that you could see making a big lead. Like, he might make the lead this year, but I don't think he's coming out this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he's a year away. I thought there was just too many inconsistencies. Like, I don't have a draftable on him. I just thought there was too many inconsistencies on the tape. But you can see all the physical. He's also rail thin, which is a concern.
185.
But I thought, like, between his feet and his mechanics, I thought his throwing motion was kind of a little inconsistent and slow at times, and I thought his feet were kind of all over the place, and that impacted his accuracy. Yeah. But, yeah, like, he doesn't put the ball in harm's way too often. Then the arm and the ability as a runner. My number two guy is Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Kind of similarly maybe to your reasoning for Daniels, is just, like, the physical aspects are there.
Yep.
I think he's a guy who's gotten better each year. He only was a starting quarterback in high school for 1 year. He's a wide receiver the other three because Tate Martell was at Bishop Gorman with him. So I think one day we'll be evaluating Tate. I think DTR, like, if he takes another leap, and I suspect UCLA to kind of breakthrough might be a strong word, but I think this is kind of the year to find out if Chip Kelly's really the guy. Because for every reason, they should be competitive this year in the Pac-12. And DTR, arm talent is pretty good. I think he's got really clean, consistent feet and pretty clean throwing motion, given he's more newer to the position. The accuracy is a little sporadic, but I thought just he would be the guy that I could see maybe taking the leap this year.
He's my third guy. I don't have a draftable grade on him, but I do like DTR. Neither
do I.
Like a really good athlete. I think the arm is good. He gets the ball floating on him a little bit. I think he might be a better thrower on the move than he is in the pocket. But sometimes he's, like, weirdly more willing to throw off his back foot. And he's gotten better at that. He used to do that so much. Look at 2019 tape. There's a lot of back foot throws. And they're still there, but he's done a lot better. But it's almost funny that, like, you know, a guy's barreling down on him, and he's just willing to kind of hop off his back foot and make a not great throw instead of just making a guy miss that he can easily do and getting that passing lane for himself. But yeah, I do agree with that. I don't think DTR is too far off of Jaden Daniels. I think I can see him making a leap because the tools are there. And I totally agree that UCLA, this is obviously the most talented team they've had under Chip. And if it's not this year, it's probably never for him. My fourth guy, I liked Anthony Brown. I like Anthony Brown more than I
was going to say
Anthony Brown.
He's the wild card of the group because really you're watching majority of his Boston College tape, which obviously he's a star there for 2 years, and you saw some good things there. He transfers to Oregon, and the way that quarterback situation played out was super strange, but now he walks into his last year, assumably, of college football at Oregon, the most talented team on paper in the Pac-12, with a handful of veteran weapons around him, a Joe Moorhead offense that flashed at times last year. I think he's got a chance to be kind of come out of this season as a maybe even a potential Senior Bowl quarterback, just given I don't think there's a ton of senior quarterbacks that look locked for the Senior Bowl at this point.
He almost like not his playing style specifically, but a little bit. Like, almost the whole situation reminds me of Tyler Huntley's, where he's in a good situation, and I think he's a good quarterback, and the talent is there, and I think he can be a backup in the NFL if everything comes together. And yeah, I think that's a good point.
I'm glad we're on the same page with him.
Yeah,
because I like him.
You see the pieces with, like, obviously he's a good athlete. He can run. You see some really nice deep throws. He's got a lot of touch, some really nice touch. The arm is just fine. Yeah. It's pretty whippy. It's pretty loose. Lots of good rhythm throws, some nice ball placement throws. I think all the pieces are there. It's just seeing him in a stable situation, and I think he's got that this year in Oregon.
Okay, let's jump over to running backs. A lot of them that are kind of interesting was my main takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
I came up with three draftable grades, but a couple guys who I think have a chance to kind of take a bit of a leap this year and be in that draftable conversation. Who's your number one?
Rashad White from Arizona State. Okay,
perfect. So I think I did a poll, and it was who's your top Pac-12 running back prospect, and it was overwhelmingly, I think, C.J. Verdell. But yeah, I'm with you. I have Rashad White as my number one. I just think it's the combination of his pass catching ability, his silky smoothness in the open field.
Yeah.
He just makes defenders miss, and it looks so simple for him. And this his first year at ASU out of JC, and I thought he was kind of a surprisingly kind of patient inside runner when he needed to be, who can make some splashy big runs because he's a smooth athlete.
I think he flashes some really great vision in traffic on the inside. Like, there's some plays where it just doesn't look like anything's there, and he's got the burst and he's got the patience to kind of just hit home runs from that spot. That really impressed me. And, like, he's 6'1", 202, but he's kind of – like, he's long and he's a bit lean. But he doesn't run high, and you can see him run over some guy. Like, he's not going to do it consistently, but he's not afraid to drop the shoulder. Like you said, he's just sudden, and he's – like, the burst is nice. He's good catching the ball, and he's dangerous after the catch, and he's just tough to bring down. Yeah. I think he's a I think he's clearly the top guy. My second guy is Max Borghi, but I like White a lot.
White, I think, has clearly the highest ceiling, right? Yeah. Like, basically, four games for Arizona State coming out of a JC during COVID. And, I mean, we watched the games live last year, and we talked about him, and he was so exciting, especially in that opener against USC. And, like, down in their final two games,
the lead. Killed Arizona.
Just exactly. And I just think giving him a full year with the team, No COVID this year. I know Arizona State's in a strange situation in terms of violations, but like he should be one of the best playmakers in the Pac-12. That was kind of honestly, I think he has the tools to be the most electric playmaker in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. I think that's completely fair.
My second guy is Verdell. Yours is Borghi?
Yeah, I went White, Borghi, Verdell, draftable grades on those three, and no other draftable.
Okay, so we're on the same page there. Where I just have Verdell over Borghi, but Verdell reminds me a lot of kind of like a Philip Lindsay. Yeah, runs a lot tougher and bigger than he is. Yep. Contact balance and quickness are his kind of his key attributes. Fairly solid pass catcher of the backfield.
Yep.
With Max Borghi, you're getting a dude who could be a premier satellite back.
Yeah, I think Verdell is kind of like a well-rounded RB2. You're going to bring him in, and he's going to be around for a long time. A day three type of guy. And Borghi, I don't have them too far apart. I just have Borghi slightly ahead. But yeah, he's got really, really good eyes in pass protection. Like, he reads blitzes and stunts so well. And then obviously he's a great pass catcher, and he's really good after the catch. He's got really good vision. He's agile. The burst is decent. Like you said, it just all the tools are there to be a really, really good satellite back. I will say in pass pro, sometimes he just isn't strong enough, but it's not willingness and it's not his ability to just read it. Cause he feels like he's always in the right spot as a pass protector. So yeah, I think you're going to get a legit satellite back out of Max Borghi.
Yeah, like he reminds me of a James White. Like that's what you're looking at with a guy like him. Obviously, last year, I think he only ended up playing one game for Washington State. Yeah. So I'm excited to see him a full year. Obviously, new offense with Rollo in town. Go get vaccinated, coach. But Borghi should see I think more opportunities as a runner in this offense, and maybe not quite the same pass catching opportunity, but we are like he has caught more passes than like in a season than most running backs have caught in their careers.
That's like absolutely. So it doesn't for his draft stock wise, he doesn't need to check that box. He already did.
I'm gonna rattle off a couple names here. Some guys I think have a chance to up themselves this year. A couple transfers. TJ Pledger coming from Oklahoma over to Utah. I thought he had really great vision in quickness. I'm excited to see Britton Brown as the RB1 at UCLA. High cut, one cut. upright guy, but really good contact balance. Pretty sudden for a tall, lean back. Travis Dye, he just runs hard as hell. He's not very big. He runs hard as hell. He's almost like CJ Verdell, but even smaller. And then Keontae Ingram, coming from Texas to USC, bigger back, another one cut type dude. Contact balance is there all day. I think those guys are, that's kind of my next tier. None of them draftable, but all of them interesting.
Yeah, I actually have the same group of players, funny enough. But I go Dye, Pledger, Brown, Ingram, if it matters. But like they're all close. Pledger to me, it was kind of fun watching him at Oklahoma because he feels a lot like a Utah back. I'm like, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's a perfect match.
Yeah, and like you said, he makes a surprising amount of guys miss in the backfield. Like, I think it was the TCU game where he was, like, getting contacted in the backfield a lot, like way more than you expect from an Oklahoma offensive line in the Big 12. And he was making a lot of guys miss. And he's got good bursts, and he's not afraid to run through guys. I think there's a lot of good pieces there. And obviously they need a running back, sadly. That's one of the most fucking sad things with Ty Jordan last year. But I think he's got in a really good spot. Brown, just quickly, he's like at 6'1", 210. He's leggy and kind of jittery. That's kind of fun. It's interesting to see how much he gets, like when he gets a lot of touches, what he can do. Yeah, I really like the combo of Dye and Verdell. They're just a fun duo, and they're both compact with like nice contact balance. And they just run hard. I really enjoy both of those guys.
Anyone else you want to mention before we get to the wide receivers?
Not really, and I wasn't super impressed with the group of wide receivers. How about you?
I think the worst of me, or the interior defensive line wasn't amazing, but I don't know. I came away pretty meh. I think the big disappointment to me was Drake London. I don't know. I don't know if I'm watching the wrong games. Like, I saw even Dane Brugler as a top five wide receiver in this class right now.
Yeah.
I like could see a path to that. Obviously 6'5", 210, big recruit, super productive as a freshman and sophomore. Plays like only exclusively in the slot, runs like three routes, has really good ball skills, but I just the athleticism isn't there. The route running isn't there. Again, can make some nice contested catches, combat catches, but I don't like. I think right now for me, he's a late day three guy.
Okay, I got a mid day three grade on him, so I wasn't super impressed with him either. And okay, so yeah, I think you hit a lot of there.
He is your number one though.
Yeah, he's my only draftable grade. Okay. But yeah, like you said, 6'5", 212. Physical yak. I saw a couple concentration drops, but like his hands are really good. That being said, he goes over the middle. He makes catches in traffic. He's really good at that. He's also a really, really, really good blocker. And like you throw on the
tape, he blocks his ass off.
He's lining up like in a bunch. So like basically just like almost an H-back role where he is just putting guys on their asses. And like you said, he's not a great athlete. Like he's, like for 210, I don't know. For his size, he's okay, but he's not explosive at all. So okay, this is my thought: is he just a modern tight end? And I'm not saying is he getting changed to tight end in the NFL. I'm saying is he already a modern tight end? Like is this just what?
Like he is that his role in this offense? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, and that's like just
essentially
that's what like, you're gonna use him. He's just a slot tight end that you can kind of that can block decently as well and. Especially in
an air raid offense, like it does make sense. I do know this year, obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown's gone, Tyler Vaughn is gone. Like he's expected to play more on the outside, so I think we'll get a much better idea of his complete skill set this year.
For sure.
But I'm just so worried about how he is going to separate in the NFL. Just again, in terms of I don't think like he's not a twitchy athlete, and he doesn't. Like he's not explosive out of his breaks, and I'm just worried about him as a route runner who doesn't have the speed to separate either. On the other hand, I was low on Michael Pittman early, and I came way around on Michael Pittman. Now I think Michael Pittman, just jumping back and obviously talking about a big USC receiver, I think Michael Pittman was a better athlete, and a much better route runner. But yeah, I don't know. I think just it's too early to be claiming Drake London as a first round type player. I think
I agree. Like way, I do. Way too early. I get all the traits, but yeah, I don't. You don't see the athleticism, but projecting him as this guy that, like in a kind of like a Mark Andrews-y role, you know what I mean? Like I think there might be something to that. Something like where he's like a tight end wide receiver hybrid.
I like that path more than.
Cause like okay, him. We're definitely gonna see him on the outside more, unless they just stick to him in his current role because it was, I mean, it's worked for them. But if we see
he's a great college football player.
Oh yeah, for sure, and obviously he's still a young player too, so he's coming into his own. But like he's a third year sophomore now. But yeah, if they're leaving him on the outside or they're putting him on the outside, you're definitely right. We're going to see what he's made of, but I'm not sure if it's going to translate great. But he's young. We'll see. Like you said, I was out on Pittman. Actually, I was in on Pittman early and then out on him late. I was reversed like an idiot. But I don't think the athleticism is there like Pittman's was. So we'll see. Interesting guy, though.
I think another interesting guy, Stanford's Michael Wilson. I think seeing him with the bigger role this year be interesting. I think really good catch radius and body control.
Bigger guy too.
Yeah, he's got some size to him, but he's not a he's not explosive. But I thought he moved pretty well. So he was catching my eye a little bit. Johnny Johnson's always going to catch our eyes.
Yeah, he's my second guy, and I don't have a draft look great.
He's mine too.
He's just a solid guy. I don't know. He's a solid wide receiver.
I will say a wide receiver who caught my eye who wasn't on our list, and I ended up kind of diving into him a little bit, Trevell Harris at Washington State. When I was watching Renard Bell, this guy, number one at Washington State, kept catching my eye. So I got into him a little bit. And he, like Renard Bell, he's not big, but he's got a little more size to him. 5'9", 182, plays predominantly in the slot. They line him up at Wildcat sometimes. He's just really twitchy and he's good after the catch. So that's just not draftable or anything, but just someone I wanted to mention.
I am shocked you don't love Brittain Covey.
Yeah, he's going to be a great BC Lion.
He looks like a BC Lion. He's got some punt return, kick return ability. He's a little slot guy. He's fun. Like on the flip side, I love the tight end group.
Yeah, I was going to say the three tight ends we did are three of the best tight ends. Like, I think they're all in my top five tight ends right now.
Yeah, no, me too.
The fun thing is about the three, Cade Otton, Greg Dulcich, and Brent Keithy, is they're all kind of different styles. Like, Cade Otton's more of that classic inline guy. Yeah. But at the same time, they all do get to move around a little bit too, which is nice. Mm-hmm. But traditional inline guy. Dulcich is more of like the jumbo slot. Yep. Keithy's that H-back who's doing all kinds of Swiss Army knife type things.
Okay, so I gave them all three of them fifth round grades right now. So they're all very.
I have them all tied in terms of grade. I split it by preference, essentially.
Me too. Okay, so what's your order? That's weird.
I got Otton 1. Mm-hmm. Dulcich 2, Keithy 3.
I got Dulcich 1, Otton 2, Keithy 3. But yeah, I have fifth round grades on all three of them. Let's start with Otton. Like you said, he's just like a throwback. He's a traditional tight end. He's a really, really good blocker. He's 6'5", 240. He's got that nasty in him. The hands are really, 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 really solid. Like he's that old school tight end where you're like, okay, you're going to be blocking most of the time, but when we're going to on that key third down, you got to make the catch, and you're going to.
I think that's what he is. He's easily the best blocker here. Oh, he also is used by far the most as a blocker.
It's Washington, in a man. They churn out the great blocking tight ends.
Great hands. Great catch radius.
Yeah.
And I think he does a wonderful job just sitting down, finding holes and sitting down in coverage. And like third and five, we're looking to you. Heath Miller-esque.
Yeah.
And he's got great size. I think he's like a pretty clear cut. Just assuming guys take a leap, like potential day two plug and play at some point.
Agreed.
Dulcich is like he plays so much in the slot, And his, to me, it's his overall athleticism is kind of his trump card, right?
Yep, exactly.
Like, he is the burner of the group. He can make big plays out of the slot. Like, USC, I think he took a post like 80 yards or something.
Yeah.
And he's also, I thought, the best overall, or the best in terms of kind of, I'm going to take that back. I'm just let you talk.
Okay, I don't know what you're trying to say. I'll jump in. Also really good hands. Also,
I was going to talk about his release. I think he's the best release repertoire by far.
Okay, yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, another guy, he's contested catches, no problem. Going into the traffic on third downs, no problem. He uses his body really well to just create the space for himself. Plus, he's a really good athlete. Body control is really good. Yeah, I think he can be a guy that takes a really big leap. I think both of those guys were talking at some point as potential day two guys. And Kuthi kind of like, I don't know if he gets to day two because he's 6'2", 230. He's a really good mover. He's a fluid athlete. But, you know, he's more of that H-back type. Yeah.
Yeah, he's more of a, like, you have a role for
exactly.
him.
Exactly. Yeah, so I could see a team taking him top 100 potentially down
like,
the line.
Like, I mean, when you think about how Josiah DeGuara ended up as a third round pick, like,
yeah,
I know he was they're not the same player at all, but just in terms of size and the position they're playing,
yeah,
like as a more premier H-back type. I also love how much Utah used Kuthi on like sweeps,
yeah,
a lot. They play him in the backfield. He's the best route runner, I thought. I think, yeah, you mentioned his fluidity, I think that's clear on routes.
It's best after the catch, too.
Yes. Best yak, best route runner. Now, he's not nearly, like, catch radius and through traffic, he's not nearly as good.
Yeah.
But he's a really fun guy. All three of them are really fun and good.
Yeah, and Kuthi can block, too. Like, maybe not Auden's level, but he's a good blocker.
He's better than Dulcich.
Yeah, no, and like they line up not just as an H-back or wherever the hell, but, like, you can keep him in line, and he can do a good job blocking. Yeah, if we see them in this draft, because, I mean, Dulcich and Auden are underclassmen still, well, juniors, but I think we're talking about all three of these guys come April.
All right, jump to the offensive line.
Yeah, can we? Okay, I want to start with Jaxson Kirkland because I want to hear your thoughts.
We've been, I feel like, just doing O line in general. We'll do OTs, then we'll do the interior.
Yeah, sounds good. Kirkland,
yeah, so
you want
to start with Kirkland?
Yeah.
He's my number two tackle.
Okay. He's my number three. I was kind of disappointed.
I like him. I think he's a might be a better fit as a guard. Now, okay, when I say I like him, I might be out of the loop. Are people talking about him, like, way too highly?
I've seen first round grades, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I'm not there. I'm like midday three.
Okay. So yeah,
I guess without the context of knowing people think he's a first round guy, I was like, I like this guy.
No, he's good. I think
I think he might be a guard, because I just don't think his feet are very good. I think he gets too high in pass protection, and that can impact his anchor. And I don't think he's an amazing athlete or anything, but I think he's an MF-er in the run game. I think he's got great hand strength, and just more of a rogue grade. I don't know. I pictured him as like a gap scheme left guard was my takeaway.
I thought, because he's like, he's 6'7", 295, and he's kind of like, he's kind of lean, he's kind of leggy, right? And
yeah.
So I don't know if that fits on the inside. I didn't love him in the run. I thought he just kind of looked awkward a little bit to me, but I definitely agree about the anchor. I just think he needs a little more sand in his pants. I don't see anything close to first round pick. So, like, that's kind of
no,
and like that fucks us up sometimes when we know we come in with expectations and whatnot. But yeah,
well, I didn't have him because I didn't know.
You know, he's my third tackle. I got two other guys ahead of him. But yeah.
Do you want to hear my pro comp for him though?
Yeah,
Robert Gallery.
So he's gonna be a bust. Okay, great.
Yeah, but then turn into a good starting guard.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. My number one's like Abraham Lucas, clearly.
Oh, I got Sean Ryan number one.
Okay, I didn't like him very much.
That's funny. Okay, I got Lucas too. I felt like I didn't like him as much as I did this time last year, but I still have like a early day three grade on him.
Yeah, so Lucas, I think, is a very, very clean pass protector.
Yeah.
Who's crisp feet, gets to his landmarks pretty easily. I like his anchor a lot, and I think he moves really well. Hasn't been asked to do that much run blocking. That's a big thing. Get a little high. And needs to be more of a finisher. He needs to play with more power at the point. I think he needs to get stronger in general, play with better leverage in the run game. He needs more of a MF-er attitude to him. But I don't know. I just think he's a gifted athlete with length and clearly a natural pass pro.
Yeah, no, for sure. I didn't enjoy 2020 tape as much as 2019, but again, they barely had a season. It's hard to knock a guy for that, but when you go back to 2019, I thought he was like a guy that was on the path to being, you know, like that
Andre Dillard
25 to 60th over, like, you know, like in that range, and I still think he's got the talent for that, but just so good as a pass protector. Sean Ryan, I another guy I've seen some hype for. I'm not super high, but I got Lucas and him kind of neck and neck and Kirkland a little bit behind them. Big guy for UCLA, 6'5", 318, and you see that. You see he's thick throughout the frame. I think he's plenty strong. I don't know if he's overly powerful, but the strength is not a question for him. And in pass protection, his size is kind of his strength. He's just hard to get around, and I think he's for it's a little bit cumbersome. I think like big speed is going to get him. But again, he was just a true sophomore last year. In the run, I think you see some strength there, but I see him work to the second level more. He just kind of opts for the double team. But for a guy that's like still a young player, I think there's a lot of talent there.
So I worry about. I think he has good good mirroring ability. I think like kind of how you mentioned it, he's hard to get around. But I worry about his hand placement. I think he just doesn't play with very good leverage. Like he doesn't sit into it very well. I don't know. I kept catching him popping up. Which is where I worry about guys getting through him anchor wise, because when he gets high, you can get under him and you can bull him a little bit. I thought when you said he was your one, you're gonna be like he's a first round guy or something. I do think he's got a like you said, he was just a true sophomore last year. Like the physical tools are all there.
Yeah.
Technically he is kind of a mess right now to me. Just again in terms of hand placement, in terms of leverage, anchor comes with that obviously. I'd like to see him kind of work more consistently to the second level.
Yeah, I think he's I don't know if he's going to come out this year either. Like, I think it kind of just dinged Lucas because I didn't like the tape as much. But I think like when all said and done, I wouldn't be surprised if I have Lucas as the top guy. Now I don't know where people are on Lucas right now, but I guess that doesn't matter. I know we're both of us really like. What's your grade on Lucas right now?
Late day two.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So we're not. I got fourth on him.
He's my number two overall player in the Pac-12.
That sounds about right. Yeah. I got Ryan a fourth. I got him a fourth. Interior. Who's your top guy? Donovan West. I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's my number three guy in the Pac-12. Really liked him.
Yeah,
he's to me, he's Mr. Clean. There wasn't a lot of things that, I thought in terms of, like he doesn't have like fantastic feet and he can get a little high. Mm-hmm. And hand placement was one kind of my big note, but he doesn't get caught fucking anything up. That was kind of my thing. It was very infrequently where he was a problem on a play, and I thought he was just a magnificent run blocker. I think he can fit almost any run scheme because of that, because I think he moves really well, but he plays with really good power at the point. He climbs really well to the second level. He's, I thought, just so smooth when asked to pull, and he kills dudes. Like, he wants to put people to bed. There was very few things that popped up in the run game that worried me at all. The pass protection, he was just a true sophomore last year too, I think, right?
I think so.
And And so, yeah, some of the stuff in pass pro, I think, is just going to come with coaching. And my main thing there is hand placement. He can get it a little wide sometimes. But, yeah, I just thought he was really clean.
Yeah, like 6'3", 315. He's well-built. And like you said, he's just a monster in the run. And, I thought he's so good at pulling, and he just puts people in the dirt. He's your top offensive lineman or second after Lucas?
He's after Lucas.
Okay, yeah, I got him in that fourth round. Like, just I have him with Lucas and Ryan, just ahead of Kirkland. He is really good.
He was overwhelmingly the best interior guy.
Yeah, honestly, there's no one else I'm really that interested in. How about you?
I'm interested in two guys.
Okay.
Alex Forsythe, because I swear this guy's going to play 10 years in the NFL as a backup.
Okay.
He's clearly, unsurprisingly, been coached really well by Mario Cristobal. Tactically sound dude. Who's, like, not going to wow you in terms of athleticism or anything, but, like, rarely blows an assignment, has experience starting at right tackle, guard, and center. He's their starting center now. I think he's got a chance to push himself into draftable territory by next April, just in terms of what he can do as a depth guy. And then I thought Nick Ford at Utah was this – I just wanted to bring him up. Because he's their starting center, but he also had started a game at left tackle. And I came away being like, this center should be a tackle. Like, I'd like him very much as a center, but he's long and athletic, and I just don't understand why he's playing center and not tackle.
You don't get that very often, eh?
No. Normally it's the opposite, where you have a guy who's a little short but good at tackle who should kick inside. But yeah, it's rare you look at a center like, this guy looks like a tackle and plays like a tackle.
It's strange. I don't know. I feel like just this time of year, people want to throw guys in the first round conversation because it's the summer. You know what I mean? But
I do want to say,
yeah,
I made the mistake of starting with Donovan West on the interior group.
Okay. I did too.
And then you go to, you do that and you're like, wow, this guy's good. I hope everyone else is. And no one else is.
I've been doing that this year, is starting with the players that I've heard are good.
Well, because you kind of get excited, right? We have this freaking list we're slogging through. Just so everyone knows, AJ and I watch a lot of guys that we don't even talk about because they're just not very good. But yeah, we have this huge list we're slogging through, and you get to a new position group. You're like, oh my God, I need to watch Donovan West. There's hype on him. I'm excited that he's really good. And you're like, hell yeah. And then you just get beaten down and want to give up as you get through undraftable after undraftable linemen. It's better now that we're into the Power Five, but.
It's the worst when you're like, for me, it's always the Hawaii office linemen. And we didn't have as many this year. It's always them.
Okay. Talking about being sad, the NHL draft's not going that great for AJ, is what I heard. AJ?
Yeah, I mean, all the Michigan guys went. I'm really happy. But the back half of the
top, but now you're 10, sad because there's no more to go.
Yeah, there's no one else. I didn't like the Tyler Boucher pick from the Sens. I've never heard of him. Wasn't on my board.
But AJ, save it for your Spotify green room.
I will.
Because Spotify Green Room is a live audio-only sports talk platform that's free to download and to use. Talk to all kinds of podcast hosts like AJ, who break down other drafts that aren't in anything we're experienced in covering. Talk to other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, you know the spiel. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, join the group. And then get your spicy takes coming. Start cooking up them spicy takes. AJ, do you have any spicy takes about the interior defensive line?
Nothing really spicy. I think Thomas Booker is a really good run defender. I like him.
Okay, he is the one that got me excited the most. He's my number one.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm not like saying like he's amazing or anything. I saw he was really twitchy and played really hard.
Yeah,
I don't know. He makes some splashy plays. He plays 3-tech, plays 5-tech, well built.
6'4", 3'10", yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of twitched up. I think he's got some power rush ability as well.
Yeah, he can penetrate. I think the tools are there. I do have like a mid day three on him.
Me too.
The tools are there. Maybe just got to be a. Although I think he is really consistent in the run, but if he can just kind of put it more together as a pass rusher, I think he plays a nice leverage, and just see him controlling the point of attack a lot and shedding and making tackles. I think he's a good prospect for a guy I never heard of.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, I kind of liked Tully at Washington and Jermaine Lowell at Arizona State. I thought they both had their moments. Tully's a young guy.
Yeah.
Tully, I thought there's some flashy plays. He plays some three tech, plays some one tech. I thought kind of
you know, what you reminded me of a little bit.
Who?
Puna Ford.
Oh, you know who I was gonna say? I was gonna say kind of reminded me of Tommy Togiai last year a little bit.
That crossed my mind too. Yeah, no, yeah, I agree. Squad year guys. Yeah, so kind of round, but like good power to them. Yeah, like Togiai too. That just I'm thinking more college Puna than NFL Puna, but like. You see a lot of like bull rush. Like he's got some bull rush too. I mean, I think he had a sack in the game I watched. Only one career sack though. But you said only. He's only a third year sophomore now. So.
Yeah, he's a guy who could see taking a big jump. He was your second after Booker.
Yeah, I went Booker, Thule, and then Jermaine. How do you say his last name?
Lowell.
He's makes also. More sense. Yeah.
So we got our same top three, and he's. 6'1", 310, kind of stocky dude who's got some nice initial quickness, played some 3-tech, played some 5-tech. All three of these guys kind of moved around a little bit, which I thought was nice.
Yeah, no, true.
Like, none of them blew me away. Booker was definitely the top guy, but Lowell and Tully are both younger. I could see them kind of making some waves this year.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised how much they moved Lowell around. Like, for a guy, you think he'd just stick him in the middle, but they get pretty creative with him.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job in general kind of rotating through their defensive line, too.
Arizona State can do no wrong.
Agreed. Herm didn't do it.
Well,
you played to win the game.
Sanctions? You're talking about sanctions?
Yeah. Apparently it was like all Antonio Pierce.
Maybe this is Pierce just leaked it to get the job.
Yeah, I think Antonio Pierce is gonna like get the biggest punishment though. But okay, Edge, where we've got maybe the best player in the draft, Kayvon Thibodeau. Is he your number one?
Yeah. Imagine saying I was disappointed. Yeah, I love Thibodeau. I've always loved old Thibodeau. It feels like he's the guy that people already want to poke holes in to get early. I'm not going to. I think he's really fucking good. That's
you know what's cool is when a guy's really good at football.
He's really cool. And you know what's also really cool? When he's fucking awesome as a pass rusher and a run defender. He might be a better run defender right now.
I'm here to say he's a better run defender right now.
Yeah.
I think he's an awesome run defender.
Yes. Yeah.
He also so he plays like he is a freak athlete. He looks like the type of he could add a little bit of weight, but he looks like the type of first overall pick pass rushers we've seen. He is twitchy as hell. He'll beat some tackles. Like a tackle won't even be in a pass set and he's already by them. like that's how explosive he is off the snap. He plays with great leverage. He uses his length well, plays with great leverage, sets the edge, understands how to set the edge.
Yeah.
Understands the importance of setting the edge, and like I said, plays really hard. I think he's a better power rusher than he is a speed rusher right now, and I think his hands need some development. Like he kind of wins on just being a better athlete, more powerful than guys at points.
Yeah, that's
pass rush plan is like the thing. Like if I'm gonna be the asshole poking holes in a great prospect,
it's okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna say it's pass rush plan in hand use or what I want to see more of. But yeah, I mean he's a
kind of like he kind of just swipe. Like that's kind of like his only move, I think. At this point. Which it works. So. It works great, but it's kind of one of those moves that really lets you like if you're already stronger and faster than an offensive lineman and anyone else on the field, that's like that move to really just it's the easiest one to execute. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who's your second guy?
ZTF.
Okay, me too. Like easily my second guy.
Oh yeah, I think they're the top two guys, and I'm not really.
I knew ZTF had the and obviously. The asterisk ZTF tours Achilles a couple months ago and isn't going to play this year, so I don't really I don't know how to necessarily look at him right now, but just in terms of purely in terms of his 2020 tape, He's the second best guy. He is a powerful, powerful pass rusher who I thought pretty good hands, but just the power, the speed to power, his ability to generate power, his leverage. He just gets under dudes and blows them up. He's relentless. He's a good edge setter too. Just very strong at the point of attack. See, I didn't know going in with him, like, obviously we had all that, like, kind of hype for what he did in the very few games Washington played last year. But I was like, is he just one of those guys who puts up sack numbers and, like, the media hypes him up? But no, he's, like, actually very, very good.
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, this double sucks. I think if he, because there was, like, rumblings that he might come out of Washington after his redshirt sophomore year. And I think if he came out, he would have been a big riser in the process. So, and I think it would have been a big, maybe not a riser, but like he would have, well, yeah, he would have been a big riser if he had this season. So losing this just really, really fucking sucks for him. And, I think whenever, yeah, I mean, the injury is rough, but I think whenever he's healthy, I think he's going to be like, it's hard to grade him now. I agree with you, but what round did you throw on him?
Late day two.
Okay, yeah, I'm there too. And yeah, I think we've seen worse pass rushers go earlier than him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think he's gonna go early.
Yeah. I thought Drake Jackson was disappointing.
You know what? Like, so I've been back and forth on Drake Jackson. It's like at first I didn't like him, and then I liked him a bit, and now I'm kind of in the middle where I think he's like, okay, I got a draftable grade on him, but. He's a little disappointing.
He's built well, and he's like explosive enough.
Yeah,
he plays really hard. Yeah, I'll give him that. He plays really hard.
Yeah,
but I think he's stiff. Like, he doesn't have that much bend.
Agreed.
And he just really doesn't have a pass rush bend. Like, he doesn't use his hands at all. He's very reliant on just kind of motoring his way there. Sometimes he'll win on the outside just because he's a better athlete. But, like, yeah, he's just, I don't know. I didn't really see much as a pass rusher. I thought he's a pretty good run defender. Like, again, a guy who sets the edge pretty consistently and uses his length in stacks and sheds well in that respect. But pass rush-wise, I was very disappointed.
He feels like
– I don't understand. Like, I'm seeing him go top 10 in mock drafts. I don't understand that.
I think it's just because he was a big recruit, right? Like,
Yeah, and he's been productive, and he's great for USC, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I feel like there's been a lot of USC, like, he just feels like he's in that trend of USC defensive linemen that are big, buzzy names, were big recruits, and you throw on the tape, and it's more sizzle than steak, you know what I mean? But I got, like, a fifth on him right now, but yeah, top 10, I think, is a little, it's a lot too much.
I want to mention one more guy, Arizona's Jalen Harris.
Okay.
Mainly because he looks the part of an NFL pass rusher. He's 6'5", 258. And he's quite athletic. There's not, and he plays his ass off, but there's just not a lot there at all in terms of pass rush plan. But I think that's a guy who could be just Arizona's best player in general. Not a whole lot going on with that roster, and just a guy who could rise throughout the season.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. You want to jump to linebackers?
Yes.
You know,
yes,
you know who we get to talk about, right? Multiple guys that I love that we finally get to talk about.
Coin Dang.
First of all, yeah, Coin Dang. I still love Coin Dang. Is your top guy?
He is my top guy.
Okay, he's mine too. Okay. Coin Dang. He is so long. I don't know. He's just so much fun to watch when his, like, fingers touch his ankles almost when he's just standing still. Still learning. Still getting better. He's still, I said, 6'6", 250 or something like that. I still think he's going to make the big leap and become a legit prospect. It's like last year was completely a wash. And he's, you know, coming over from JUCO a couple years ago. I'm still excited. And I think in a real season and finally getting into the draft process, I think he's going to make a leap.
Yeah, I mean, you look at him and it's just like he's a freak size-wise. He moves – the range is really awesome.
Yeah.
I almost want – like, is he a Sam? Is he
going
to – is he going to, like, I could even see him beat, some teams view him as an edge potentially.
At that size, yeah. With that length.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's what he looks like. It, he's going to get compared to Anthony Barr, like, nonstop. And two things. I want to see him be better in coverage. I think he can get take advantage of there. And he needs to put himself in a better position more. The instincts are a worry for me. He's very raw, and that's clear. But, I think he's my number one guy. And I don't know. He's a little older, but he's got a path to being maybe an early day three guy.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree there. I mean, that's kind of where I had him last summer. And it's hard to ding a guy after this season. It's definitely, you know, you just instincts, you know, they're hit and miss. But I think, like, you see the length and athleticism let him make up for it, so.
Yes. No. Like, he gets him. The athletic traits, the physical traits he has allows him to make plays that other linebackers can't.
Exactly.
I think Carson Wells is an interesting guy at Colorado.
Go ahead.
Is he an edge, though?
I
think he might be, because they play him off ball and they play him at edge. Yeah. I think he's a more interesting prospect as an edge, 6'4", 250. He's a very good pass rusher when asked to do that. He's a guy I really liked who kept catching my eye. I also think Devin Lloyd's really interesting because he's twitchy as hell. Who's your second guy?
Second guy for me is Merlin Robertson, who I didn't.
Okay, he's my fourth guy.
Yeah, I kind of go back and forth on him, but I do. You know, I don't know why we watch Arizona State games this year, but I found watching him live really, really gave me a good impression of him.
I have a draftable on him. I think he's like, okay, 6'3", 250. I think he's just very, like, solid in coverage. He's very aware in coverage.
Yeah.
Like, when he zone drops, like, he's rarely out of position. He kind of – he'll man up with tight ends sometimes, too. He made an awesome interception against USC covering a tight end. He's very good with body positioning. I ended up with Dang, Wells, Lloyd, Robertson, and Landman all having draftables.
That's what I wanted. Yeah, Nate Landman, my guy, baby. Yeah, I got draftable Nate Landman, who is – what did he injure last year?
Did he tear his Achilles?
I think it might have been. I should have Googled. I love Nate Landman, though.
Love him. He's a tackling machine. Like, yeah. He's not going to wow you. Like, he's not a good, like, very exciting athlete, no. But he makes every single tackle. He never misses a tackle.
Instincts are great.
Him and Wells are fun to watch together. Yeah, instincts are very good.
He's a son of a bitch, too. Like, he's fun.
Like, he's a guy who I think is going to be making an NFL roster.
Yeah. Agreed.
Jumping back to Devin Lloyd.
Yeah.
I think that's a guy who this year could take a big leap just because athletically he is there. Instincts, coverage, tackling are kind of question marks, but just really twitchy. And he hits to kill. He'll kind of overcommit at times, and that leads to some missed tackles. He'll take himself out of position. I want to see him do a better job reading his keys and getting into a position to make a play. But, yeah, he's got the athleticism, the size the NFL is going to be looking for in a modern linebacker.
It's a pretty solid group in the past. I feel like it usually is
solid group. Even, like, the guys that don't have draftables on, I thought were enjoyable to watch and, like, could be special teams contributors potentially at some point.
Agreed. How did you feel about the secondary?
Corners or safeties? I like the corner group.
Trent McDuffie, top guy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah, like Trent. I mean, I think Washington's always gonna have a corner we're gonna love.
Yeah,
Trent McDuffie's really good. Like, he is a natural in zone. He like, his hips are very fluid. His feet are really clean. So like you like to say, he's got quiet feet. He does a good job finding ball in phase. Like, he's solid in man coverage too. Want to see him trust his eyes a little bit more in zone to make plays on balls, but, like, 99% of the time in a good spot, he reads quarterback pretty well. I want to see him be a better, more consistent tackler and more of a Maybe Washington's just made me think all their corners will murder people. But I want to see him be a little bit more physical and stronger and press. But, like, yeah, he's very good. Like, he is one of the top corners in the country without a doubt.
Definitely. Like, what do you got on right now?
Early day 3.
Okay, I got, like, a late. Yeah, no, I got an early day 3, too. Who's next for you, the Arizona? Any of the Arizona State guys?
Jack Jones. I loved Jack Jones last year, and I know it didn't go that well. The USC transfer.
Yeah.
And but he's back this year. Am I falling? I just think his feet are amazing. His click and close is awesome. He is athletically everything I want. Just, like, not the biggest guy, but just he plays press and off man really well. I think he's better in press man. He plays a lot bigger than he is. Ball skills are there. Yeah, it's just for him, it's just in terms of not getting in trouble.
Yes, I have him over Lucas. Those are my top three guys, McDuffie, Jones, Lucas. I have a late draftable on Chase Lucas.
I think Chase Lucas is just safe.
Yeah.
It's what I've thought for 3 years.
Yeah.
Just good instincts, not a great athlete, good instincts. At his best in zone. I like him in off zone. I think pretty good fluid hips.
Yeah, I feel like he was getting all the hype last year, if I remember correctly. And like when I watched him, I came away like he's solid, but like not special. Especially, because he just doesn't look like the greatest athlete at all. And then I like Jack Jones more. But no, I agree. I think he's just a solid guy.
I want to. Because I'm standing Arizona today, and I mentioned Jalen Harris earlier. I should mention Christian Roland Wallace. I think there's something there.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
I think he's a very balanced, like, plays with good balance, good feet, and very solid and press man. Just a junior. He's a guy to watch. I think Kyler Gordon at Washington also is a guy who, not this year, but, like, he might be the next dude after McDuffie.
If you put anyone in that purple, I think you're gonna love them.
Yeah,
probably. But they're always good. Like McDuffie's clearly, where's McDuffie for you in corners right now? In your rankings,
In terms of corners I've watched,
yeah,
number 2.
Who do you got ahead of him?
Derek Stingley's number 1.
Oh yeah, makes sense. I have him only after Sauce. I haven't gotten into the SEC yet.
Yeah. So I'm listening, like, to work ahead. Yeah, but no, I have him, like, right, same range as Sauce. Sauce, De'Ron Kendrick.
Makes sense. Yeah, I know, for sure.
Okay, yeah. Safeties?
Yeah. Who'd you talk?
Do you like anybody?
I don't love anyone. How about you?
I don't love anyone. I like Verone McKinley. A lot of that has to do with how they use him and his position versatility. Like, he'll play outside corner, he'll play safety, he'll play nickel. Mm-hmm. They use him a lot as a matchup player. And I think he's just two things I worry about with him. I think he's a little stiff and he struggles to find the ball at times. So I want to see him loosen up those hips, find the ball in phase a little bit better. But I think he's really, like, he can man up with tight end slots. He can play deep zone, deep half. I think he's a guy who's worth writing name down and, like, potential day 3 guy.
I
have a day 3 on him.
Sorry about that?
I have a day 3 on him.
Yeah, okay. My top guy is Polamalu, but I wasn't super impressed.
I kind of like Quentin Lake and Quintrez Knight, the UCLA safeties. I think Quentin Lake, no, it's a Steelers bias because
yeah,
just, his daddy was a 5-time All-Pro for us. But he I think is just plays with really good instincts. Rarely out of position in zone. Pretty fluid hips guy. Like, he's a late day 3 potential guy. Knight's interesting because he's a Maryland transfer to Kent State, from Kent State to UCLA. They play him predominantly as nickel. Yes, right. They play him predominantly as a nickel. He blitzes a ton. He's a flats defender guy. He lights people up. I like watching him play. Paul Amal, Paul Amal, from USC. I worry about him in coverage. It's kind of like
you don't
the Hufanga thing last
you gotta
year.
You got to give him the Steelers bump, though. Like, that's not fair. That Lake
I gave it to Lake. I could only give out one.
That's not fair. He's big.
He's big, and he hits hard.
Yeah.
But I just – I worry about him in coverage. Just stiff. His feet are kind of messy. Like, Hufanga, I thought, was a lot better football player.
I – watching all these Pac-12 games again, I really enjoyed every time Hufanga, that UCLA USC game came up. It's always fun to watch.
I watched like 7 games in total where Hufanga was doing something crazy.
Yeah, he's just such a fun football player. I hope he turns out to be like. I hope he's good in the NFL.
Good landing spot. Yeah. I hope he becomes a special teams terror.
I mean, I hope it's not with the Niners, but I hope he's great.
Okay. You hope he gets traded to the Steelers.
Yeah, that would be great. And then everyone can pretend like he's Palomalu's nephew.
Perfect. Okay, awards. Oh, also next week we'll be doing the Big 12, but we will be including Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, for a couple more
God, days. This show's going to suck so much when we're doing it with the Big 12 show without Texas and Oklahoma.
What are you talking about? We get to talk about Oklahoma State players like Spencer Sanders.
Heck yeah. Okay, awards, Pac-12. Who you got taking the Pac-12?
Okay, I have Oregon winning. I'm very confident about that.
It's who's Oregon beating is the question.
Yeah, I honestly left it as a coin flip here. I am going to go, sanctions be damned, I'm going to go with Arizona State.
Okay, so I think you look at it and you're like, it should be USC. Fuck yeah. That. I don't trust Clay Helton.
Yeah.
Then you look at it and you're like, it's usually Utah.
That's true.
They have and it very well could be, but they still have some questions to answer on offense.
You love Charlie Brewer, though. I know you do.
I hate Charlie Brewer. That's my
Did
issue.
You see how high Dan was on Charlie Brewer? I wanted to bring that up before the show, but I forgot.
Oh, no, I didn't.
He had him like as a 6th senior quarterback, and that really caught me off guard. I remember you hated him so much last year, and I didn't hate him, but I obviously didn't have a draftable grade, and so that really, really shocked me.
Yeah, I don't like Charlie Brewer. I think Arizona State would be the natural choice here, if not for potentially their whole coaching staff's not coaching. So?
Yeah, but that guy got in your mentions and said it's going to get dragged out, so we're good this year.
That's true. He's an insider. I went with UCLA. This is the year Chip has to do
you're
it.
You're buying
he has
in.
To, he has to get, yeah, I'm buying in. DTR another year. They got a good defense. Dulcich is a pass catcher. I like Britton Brown. Both their safeties, I think, are good football players.
Sean Ryan's
Kelly,
a star.
Chip Kelly Bowl. The Chip Kelly Bowl in the Pac-12 Championship.
That'd be really cool. It'd be really cool. It's their like it's. I agree that it's their year to.
It's there to take this year.
It has to be this year. I agree. But I don't know. I still think Arizona State, the talent is going to trump anything else in the South. I mean,
well,
USC's got it too. But
if not for the sanctions shit, I would have taken Arizona
State. Yeah, I know. And if it wasn't for the sanctions,
I think
confidently, yeah.
USC is who it should be. Utah's the smart bet. Arizona State's the fun bet. And UCLA's the wild card.
It's fun that it's wide open like that, though. But I guess the South is always kind of because – these teams keep changing.
Oh, wait. Jed Fishbump. Okay, who's your Pac-12 offensive player of the year?
I didn't want it. Open. I didn't want to do it, but I chose Keaton Slovis.
Yeah, see, I didn't want to do it, so I chose DTR.
I hope so.
Like, he's got a chance to be the most statistically exciting quarterback in the Pac-12. In just 5 games last year, he threw for over 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns, ran for 3 more, 300 rushing. Like, he should be competing for it. I think Anthony Brown's a bit of a wild card.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to be a quarterback.
Brown. Yeah, I think he definitely could be Anthony Brown. I think he's like if I had to put money on it and someone like just tried to make me a couple bucks, I think I'd put money on Anthony Brown.
I think that's a smart gamble to make.
Or
Charlie Brewer.
I guess. You know who I want to win OPOY that we never mentioned today?
Who?
Chip Traynham, my favorite running back in the world.
Sick.
I love Chip Traynham. Raymond Rashad White.
Hey, Arizona State's got the best running back duo.
That's for sure. And then Oregon, the top two.
Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, let me think about this one. Who'd you choose, Rob?
Kayvon Thibodeau has played 20 games at Oregon, has 23.5 TFLs and 12 sacks.
Yeah, and it was from the second he stepped on campus. I remember watching his fucking first game. Auburn, right? Yeah, the Auburn game. And it was it's unreal.
Better question, was ZTP out for the year? I guess it'd be Drake Jackson, probably.
The second guy?
I was
going to
say who you put second, and I feel like... Yeah, I feel like second would end up being Drake Jackson just on name.
Yes.
Coin Dang, though, I mean, 2 years ago, he's just a tackling machine.
I feel like it's hard for a Cal. Like, it doesn't matter. This is such a pointless conversation because, like, as long as Thibodeau stays healthy, he's winning this award.
Yeah, of course.
It's not. It's nothing. Yeah.
All right, any guesses for Town of the Week?
Corvallis.
Correct.
Yes.
Of course, it was always going to be Corvallis.
I didn't cheat. I guess the population?
Yeah, of course.
I got to think this one through. Do I think it's over 100? I'm not sure. Okay, I'll say 112,000.
Not even fucking close, pal.
What is it?
It's 58,856.
Oh, man. I thought Corvallis hit that 100K. I don't know why.
Ah, Corvallis. You know what they say about Corvallis?
Smallest big city in Oregon.
The biggest village on the West Coast. Okay. Oregon State, obviously, is located in Corvallis, Oregon. Stadium, Research Stadium, opened in 1953 as Parker Stadium, was renamed in 1999 after Al and Pat Reeser, owners of Reeser's Fine Foods.
What happened to Parker?
I don't know. He was probably dead.
Imagine you die and they just change the name of the stadium because you're gone.
Why is it named after Reeser's Fine Foods? Now, I will say I read Al is dead, so like I'm not going to shit on it too much. I just thought that was strange. Some notable alumni. Now, Oregon State has a weird mixture of people that have attended. It's either like... NFL players and the Gary Payton and his son? I'll just get to it. Notable alumni, Derek Anderson, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Chad Ochocinco Johnson, Steven Jackson, Gary Payton, Gary Payton II, and then the two weird ones that were listed, Sarah Jean Underwood, who was a Playboy playmate, obviously attended, and Kendra Sunderland, who's a porn star. Those were the other names listed.
It's the big ones.
Yeah, notable people from Corvallis, not that many. We've got Kevin Boss.
Okay, that's a big one.
Mike Riley, who, I mean, he coached them.
Yeah.
Randy Couture, that's one of the greatest UFC fighters ever. You're a UFC fan.
Yeah, I'm a big UFC fan. I didn't know Randy Couture was from Corvallis.
And Brad Bird, who wrote and directed The Incredibles, The Iron Giant, and Ratatouille. You actually know who that is?
Yeah, Brad Bird, of course. Legend.
I actually don't know if you're serious.
The Incredibles.
Okay, I don't know. I'm just going to keep going. Things to do in Corvallis. A lot. Obviously.
Hold on. I got a good alumni. The guy who created the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monsters from Oregon State.
Oh. There. Perfect. What a group. Okay, things to do in Corvallis. Corvallis's Farms Market, William L. Finley Wildlife Refuge, Two Towns Cider House, PV Arboretum. I tried to get my brother to teach me that word. Couldn't. He said it's something to do with watching trees.
Arboretum? Is it?
Auditorium?
Yeah, the tree auditorium.
Arboretum. The Oregon State McDonnell Dunn Research Forest.
It's the best research forest.
Cislaw National Forest. There's lots of forests there.
Surprising, yeah.
Okay. The Majestic Theater. Though they spelled theater wrong, which I thought that was weird.
How do they spell it?
Okay. T-H-E-A-T-E-R. Is that how you spell it in America? they spell theater wrong in America too? Because we spell it T-R-E.
Weird. We'll do a whole episode to get to the bottom of this.
Okay. I've saved the best stuff for last. Something called the Conundrum House, which I don't, like, I want to go to that.
Is it the Mystery Shack? I don't
know what that is. But potentially.
It's just a rip-off of the
Mystery Shack.
Or maybe the Mystery Shack's based on that, and I got to Google it. Okay.
Okay. Original goat yoga.
Goat yoga was invented in Corvallis? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not sure what goat yoga is.
It's yoga with goats.
Psychic readings by Liliana.
I see. Liliana is the best psychic on the West Coast. I see her all the time.
And finally, the only or the truest of the many reasons to go to Corvallis. Segway of Corvallis.
Have you been on a Segway?
No, I'm not a psycho. I get hurt.
Fuck you. Segways are. I've always wanted Segway.
Well, go to Corvallis and you can get one. Next week, people, Big 8 talk, but actually the Big 12.
Speaking of segues, the show's over.